It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So, I discovered something wonderful recently.
What's that?
This whole thing where we now do it over Zoom and there's video and people can see it on YouTube and stuff. Not only is it great because that one New Year's resolution came true where I spend less time around you in general, but I had a little experience myself that made me realize how valuable this can be. You know, I listen to the McElroy brothers in a bunch. I listen to my Bim Bam. I listen to Adventure Zone, all that kind of stuff. And I've seen them because they have like actual videos on their channel and stuff. So I know what they look like. But recently they've started, forever, it was purely audio. And recently they have started using their cameras for themselves and they will record bits and pieces and put it on YouTube. And I got to watch like a 5-minute stretch that I had already listened to, but watch all three of them doing it. And it's so much more fun to like see their reactions and like to actually watch them laughing, or if they're, because sometimes they're silent. Are they paying attention or are they distracted by something else? And I don't know. It gives a much more like I'm there vibe. And so presumably this does something similar for people who listen to ours, and that's cool.
Yeah.
Welcome. Unless that's why we have so few, is people are like, oh, let's try the video. Oh, no, they ugly. I'm out of here. And then.
Yeah, maybe.
They ugly. That's what people say. They watch an episode like 10 seconds in and then they all say they ugly.
Just like that.
And then never again.
Yeah.
The few fans we have go around to people and they're like, have you ever checked out the magical? Because I assume our fans do that. Like, yeah. Not unlike missionaries. They knock on doors and they're right. Like, have you ever checked out the magical thing yet? And I imagine that like one out of every 12 times they do this, because in my mind, they all do a great deal. When I retried, they're like, yeah, I did. And they're like, oh, did you not get it? Like, no, they ugly. And then that was just the end of the conversation. I frequently imagine this is what happened. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that, you know what? I'm just going to say it. The only podcast in the world that has paid its dues. If you want to complain to me about how it took you like 8 years of podcasting to finally make it up to the top. We've been going for over 12 years, perilously close to 13 years, I think, or perilously close to our 13th year. I don't remember which, but the point is at least 12 years. And we are still at the bottom. So we have paid our dues. If any success ever comes, don't want anybody talking about how we're the flavor of the week or we just fell into it or something like that. Even though realistically, the only way we would have success now is if we did fall into something that went viral. But we have paid our dues. And I'll tell you something. I have never heard of another podcast like this, which makes sense because if you spend this long at the bottom, nobody's going to have heard of you. So. There's possibly hundreds like us, but as far as I know, we're the only ones in the world. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 613. This qualifies as our Christmas holiday episode, I guess.
Yes. And I suppose I could have made the intro a little shorter. Yeah, happy holiday things.
Yeah. Solstice was yesterday. I hope everybody had a good solstice. We did.
Oh, shit. It's officially winter now. Actually, that explains a lot. This year, at least in the middle of the country here, it is matching how it works. Like, winter hits, and we have a lot of snow outside.
Yeah, we
and
do.
It's very cold.
Yeah, that's the real kicker, is the cold. A lot of my neighbors are going out and clearing their driveways, but I don't. And most of them have like a machine to do it, so it doesn't take that long. But man, it's the wind chill is supposed to be 20 below or 25 below or something.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go
earlier today. It's plenty sunny out, and I look at my phone, and it's like, yeah, it's -3.
Oh, but the oops person's here, and I think they're coming to our door, and we don't have. See, that's the only reason I want to go out early and clear, is because if delivery people come, I don't want them having to trudge through the snow or slip on the stairs or whatever.
Yeah, so winter has really hit here. For those of you who are just joining us the first time, happy all the things. Let me tell you a little something. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address. How many hats can say that? Very few. We're asserting just the one. and... So people, the email address is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and people write in with whatever the crap they want to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and then the hat magic handles its own email, whatever, sends them to us. We got to read them, talk about them. Such is our curse. And that's it. But most of the time we can't even be bothered for that. So, it's been a week. I want to know how your week was, but we really got to go through something here.
Hey, hold on. What episode did I say it was?
613?
No, 614. I'm sorry. I was so distracted by the UPS person outside. I was so worried. Like, are they coming to our house? Are they going to slip on our stairs? I'm just thinking about that. This is episode 614. I'm sorry, everybody. I have one job.
If this is your first time joining us, you'll note by the fact that you can see and hear all of this part, we don't edit.
I feel so bad that they had to do that. But anyway.
All right. I need you to focus because we have some serious shit we got to talk about.
I'm sorry. I was just so concerned about this person. I forgot what I was doing.
Because this week, Trish and I watched Black Adam.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and you and I, we need to talk about Black Adam.
We watched it again, so I'll be fresh. It's fresh in my head.
All right. I like that, actually. If you could just summarize again your opinion from before, because this did come up that you had seen it, and I asked you how it was, and you didn't say a lot, but... If you could just sum that up to get us back in the same headspace.
I believe what I said was there was a good movie in there somewhere, and it was just buried by a whole bunch of other stuff. In fact, I think I might have also said that if I could imagine a pitch for this movie that I would have thought was really, really good, and I would have said, hey, yeah, make that movie, Dwayne Johnson. And then that's not really the movie that they made. Watching it a second time, I was able to sort of filter out all the bad stuff. And we actually kind of enjoyed watching it. But I mean, it's like we both admitted afterwards, it's like we would never recommend this movie to anybody. It's just not.
Yeah. It's weirdly bad. Like it. OK, sorry. It's a bad movie, people.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
It's and I don't mean it's another empty, soulless superhero movie, although it is that. It's bad, but it's very like clinically bad, like unfun bad. Like real early on, I was like, this feels like somebody trying to make a Marvel movie who doesn't really know how to make a Marvel movie.
That, I mean, Abby sort of said that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then later I was, well, actually this helped. The pitch meeting video for this is fine. The honest trailer for this is quite incisive about this movie.
I wonder if I've seen that one yet.
And they did point out it also is very Zack Snyder-y, but like clearly not him. Done by somebody who clearly likes him or who was told to be more like him.
Right. Yeah, I did.
But it's just so by the numbers bad in such a weird, like, it is by far not the worst superhero movie I have seen, but it like made I enjoyed it the least almost. I don't know. It's really. I mean, I used up Soulless earlier, but Soulless feels like it just, I'm just like, this isn't, this feels like a pitch. This feels like a movie saying, see what cool movie we could make, you know, but well, this is just stand in. Just the wire model for what we'll make.
It feels like three pitches and then they never decided what they wanted it to be. That's what it's felt like. And it's probably by the numbers bad because it tries so hard to be by the numbers good, but you can't make by the numbers good.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't do it by the numbers. It's just going to be bad. Mediocre.
Even
best.
Down to the effects, which is theoretically the reason people are watching this. Like there were some very polished special effects and I did not care about any of them.
I know.
None of it looked bad, but it was all like, if I took a nap and opened my eyes again, I might think I was watching any of half a dozen other movies.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And I do need to add one thing. All the characters are written terribly. That's actually not my point. I don't want Dwayne Johnson to hurt me. But I have always, as much as I love him, been under the impression that he can play one role, and that is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. After seeing this, I am now confident he can play two roles, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and at least for small periods of time, Arnold Schwarzenegger from Terminator 2. Those are the two roles he can do. I was actually, whenever you watch a pitch meeting or an honest trailer, my favorite is when they say things that I noticed or that like Trish noticed or whatever, and I made a lot of Terminator 2 jokes, and the honest trailer made a lot of Terminator 2 jokes. Yep. And I was very proud of myself. I hated the kid, but on a personal level, I don't know that the kid was written or performed poorly. I hated the character. I wanted to murder him. He very much did feel like, they said 90s, but I think 80s child that had been thrust into a completely unrelated movie. But all of this aside, and some of it was quite entertaining, and some of it didn't matter. And there are at least two characters that didn't need to be in this movie, full stop. Special mention needs to be given to Hawkman, played by Aldous Hodge. I love Aldous Hodge. He is one of the most unappreciated actors of our time. And that was the most soulless, charmless, just a dick characters I have encountered in years. He was loathsome in his dude bro good guy stencil. Like, he sucked. And it's not Aldous Hodge's fault, because I've seen Aldous Hodge many times.
Yeah.
Dude can act. He is the next generation of big ones. It's happening.
It's not his fault at all now.
This guy sucked so bad. It was awful. Like, he made Iron Man look like the sweetest, kindest, most selfless guy you've ever met. While still, they're basically the same job. It was insane.
And I don't even know why they did that, because there's lots of incarnations of Hawkman. And I don't know any of them that are like that particularly.
The reason they did it is they thought they had a message. They thought they had a message about where the moral line is and who's right and who's wrong. And so they needed this guy who was very strongly establishment and a good guy. The problem is the message they actually gave, if you're cool like the Honest Trailer, they refer to it as just several times debating talking versus punching. But my version was that we eventually settled on the moral decision is whatever the thing is that makes the next part of the plot happen. That also felt like the message.
Okay, now here's so where the... Here's
I know the why good... they did it, but it's the most tone-deaf way of doing it I can think of.
Sure. Here's where I... This is a good example of where the good movie is, okay? At one point, it's pointed out that, you know, it's easy to make pronouncements about what is good and bad, you know, when you're the person actually drawing the line. Not only was this pointed out, but it was pointed out in a very good way with a good line, and it was well-acted line. And I remember thinking, in a different movie, that would have been a gut punch right there. That would have been a profound moment, and it just wasn't because they didn't earn it. And one of the ways they didn't earn it is, like you said, it's kind of like in a lot of movies these days, they make the foil, if for lack of a better term, just ridiculous and cartoonish. And not subtle at all, not likable. Like, you get all the cues of, oh, I'm supposed to not agree with that guy. I'm supposed to not like that guy, you know? And it's just like, this is boring. And it's not worthy of the actor who's taken that role, who can do better, who can do things more subtle and more interesting and make you as in the audience go, huh, I kind of agree with that person, but also not. But I kind of agree with that person too, and really make you think about it. But they didn't want you to think in this movie.
And credit to the actors, there is a through line of Aldous Hodge's character and Pierce Brosnan's character being old friends and sort of, you know, war buddies in the superhero game. And that is also written like crap, but the two of them act well enough that you kind of buy it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, sure.
The lines were pretty garbage.
No, but they were awful. Them off,
then they just had the chemistry.
Great chemistry,
not enough. Two. Not enough to save that.
But you're right. They clicked as actors well enough that you could kind of buy that. Yeah.
It's so sad of a failure.
Yeah, it is.
Like, because there's just so much stuff in it. It has too many of those. Like, this is a slick hundreds of millions of dollars operation. And who know very little about the story, feel like there are many aspects I could do better. And I don't like feeling like I could do better than the movie.
Oh yeah, I hate that too. When I feel like
I'm always like, then there's a lot of problems with that fact.
Well, I feel sorry a little. I mean, I know you're going to think this is ridiculous for me to say, but I feel a little sorry for Dwayne Johnson himself, because I'm not sure it was
his
fault either. The first person I want to blame is the director, but I feel like also you just get the sense that there was a lot of executive fingers in this pie. Like, there was a lot of, well, make sure you do this, make sure you do that. And who, you know, Dwayne Johnson as a producer apparently was more than willing to, oh yeah, we can put that in. Yeah, we can put that in. Yeah, we can do that. We can do it all. And you can't. You have to make decisions. You've got to, like, you know, for example, tonally, it was so weird, ambiguous. None of the jokes landed, not because they couldn't have landed, but because the tone was completely off for some of these jokes.
I counted it. I literally made a count at the time. Depending on how you choose to count it, either four jokes landed or three and two halves landed. Because there were two times I gave him half credit.
Okay.
Out of conservatively 74 jokes.
Yeah, lots of jokes.
But like, it's still a DC movie that takes itself dead seriously. So like, it very carefully allots its jokes. Like, now is the time you may laugh. And so consequently, it does not land almost ever.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And
I feel sorry for that kid too, because like you said, he was a perfectly fine actor and everything. It's just this role was so badly written.
Well, I realized what a good actor he was when I realized that two actors in this movie are playing double role. Actually, sorry, three actors in this movie are playing double roles. And so I realized that the kid was a kid somewhere else in the story. No spoilers. And I was suddenly like, oh shit, that part was done really good. Apparently this kid can act. It's just the writing that is garbage, because he absolutely felt like a weird Eastern European, Western Asian 2022 knockoff of Michael J. Fox's character from Back to the Future. Like it very much had that vibe. He literally was like hitching rides with skateboarding was a thing.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah. I didn't realize till later I saw YouTube pointed out a thing on me. He didn't just go everywhere on a skateboard. In his room, he had a rack with 7 skateboards.
Yeah, lots of skateboards. Mm-hmm. In a place where you're supposed to believe it's hard to get certain resources, and
yeah,
this guy just has a collection of skateboards.
And his role in the movie is a little bit different, but he plays the part of John Connor from Terminator 2. Like all that, remember that hasta la vista stuff 30 years ago, literally 30 years ago.
It made me remember how great a job that kid did back in Terminator 2. Wow, what a great job. He was amazing in that.
I just saw him like literally like a day ago in the 2010 remake of the 1986 classic, cult classic, terrible movie, Night of the Demons.
Oh.
Night of the Demons is a famous, in certain circles, cult classic, very low budget movie. Hard to call it good, but quite enjoyable. It's basically a movie where kids have a big party at a house where supposedly demons happened, and then they do something stupid and then demons happen. Like that's the entire plot. I've told you the whole movie. And it's very 80s, and so it's all goofy there. And I wanted to see the remake just because I'm like, this is going to suck. And also, for some reason, it had Elizabeth Shannon in like one of the big roles. I was like, what? Really? But it was pretty good. Hmm. Like, it's 2010, so there's some problematic shit in it. But it's also a remake of an 80-something movie, so there was some problematic shit there, too. It was pretty fun. But there was this guy in it who I was like, he's really good. And he doesn't really sort of look like what I think of as a classic teen Hollywood thing or whatever. And it was Ed Furlong.
Hmm.
He's actually like, he didn't exactly hit it big, but he has a stable of work and he does a lot of like genre pieces that are pretty good.
Nice.
So how's your week been?
I'm surprised you watched Black Adam. I thought you were like anti.
I don't know why. I was very curious as soon as the Justice Society showed up. I was like, ooh. It was really funny. A lot of scenes in the trailer that had the Justice Society and everything. You know, when you see a trailer and it's giving you bits and pieces of plot, it's a montage. You know, it's like this comes up here and then later this or whatever. In that case, it was not. I would say a solid minute of the trailer is cut from basically a solid minute of footage. And you think when you see the trailer, it's from like three distinct parts of the film. No, the cuts exist in the film that way. Like we do the whole everybody shows up and then we get in the thing and say we're the Justice Society and take off real fast.
Yep, real fast.
I was like,
ceremonious,
and I was like, but this movie is over 2 hours and we are not spending time on this.
Nope.
And what we spent time on was 8 fights with Black Adam, even though we established before the first fight and all the way till after the last fight that it was literally impossible for anyone to beat him, but we kept doing it.
So as you probably know, Gunn and Safran, who are like co-leaders of the DC film division with Warner Brothers, said they're pretty much starting over. There's not going to be a Wonder Woman 3. Recently, it it's been already announced that there's not going to be another Black Adam, unless it's way down the road they decide to work with Dwayne Johnson again, but I don't think they will. But the rumor is that they're going to keep Shazam and James Gunn's thing, that Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. Yeah.
Now, some people have been saying, you know, if he's got the quote unquote guts to cancel everything else but his own thing that he's hired his wife to be in, by the way, that's not going to look very good. But I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, actually, because Cavill didn't show up in Shazam like a lot of people said he would, and a lot of people wanted him to, there's no actual tie-in Shazam to the Zack Snyder's universe, really at all. And you could say the same maybe for the second hit, James Gunn's Suicide Squad. I can't remember a single tie-in to Zack Snyder's stuff in the second one. So maybe those two would get saved because they can be their own thing. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say there's none. Margot Robbie's in his, and Viola Davis is in his, but nobody from the Justice League is, I don't think, even like, no pictures or anything. I mean, they can talk about Superman and Batman, but they didn't like show Ben Affleck's Batman or show Henry Cavill or anything like that in the second one. So maybe they're going to keep those two because they feel like they don't have any strong connections to the Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League, or any of the characters in it. And they just have to get rid of all the rest because, you know, they're going to have a new Wonder Woman, I suppose. I know they're going to have a new Superman because James Gunn is working on a script for Superman. So I don't know what they're going to do.
I think the Aquaman part's the weirdest.
Well, yeah, especially if so. I mean, you might have heard rumors of Jason Momoa talking about doing Lobo or something, which means they would recast Aquaman and he would be Lobo in the new thing, which it makes sense for him to be Lobo. I mean, you'd almost think Lobo was based on him.
the whole vibe is, I'm not getting that, like, James Gunn and what's his face are only doing James Gunn stuff, but I think there is a sensibility, there is an irreverence, there is a postmodernism to James Gunn's stuff that really comes out of his roots. He's always been a guy who's like, I want to make weird shit that's sardonically funny. So honestly, to me, it just sounds like, yeah, the big four color heroes, nah, we're not really doing that anymore. We're going to do more of this quirky bullshit that James Gunn has made everyone billions of dollars with.
Yeah.
The dark, gritty Taika Waititi. And that's why when originally these things started coming out, I just sent you the thing and I was like, I don't think you're gonna like future DC. The Batman, I mean, notwithstanding.
It's hard to say because, I mean, I'm not a fan of his stuff at all. I don't really like it. So in many ways, it's like going from Zack Snyder to this, it's like, yeah, you know, it's going to look different, it's going to feel different, but my reaction to it's probably going to be very similar. That said,
because you're just going to filter out the parts you didn't like out of your brain.
That's exactly right. Now, will it be easier or harder? Here's the thing. I feel like, so the animated Harley Quinn, I think, is really good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, that's on my list. I need to get on that.
But I also think that it's very much in the James Gunn vein. So, but why do I like it? Well, because it's very Harley Quinn. Like, you know, in a way, that's the perfect property for him. I mean, he's not doing the animated thing. I'm just saying that if someone said, oh, there's going to be a Harley Quinn movie and James Gunn's doing it, I'd go, yeah, that tracks. I mean, you know, I could see that and I could probably even like it. It's him having control over everything that I does not compute with me, because you want him to do Wonder Woman? I mean,
yeah, what? He strikes me as a particular flavor. I mean, I tend to like a lot of his stuff, except the stuff that I just personally find distasteful. But I consider him a flavor, not an entire, you know, genre or an entire continuity.
So do you think they made him like they didn't just give him control of DC Films? He's got to share it with this guy. So do you think his job is to go, well, James, you know, because here's the thing. I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was really, really good. I didn't like the second one as much. And I presume that he had more control over the second one. So I think it might be one of those things where as long as someone can tell James, hey, maybe you're going a little too far and he listens, it can be something that even I can like. But so do you think that that's part of.
It could be that, or it could be that the guy, the not James Gunn, is the one who's like, okay, here's how much money you can have.
Yeah, right, maybe.
and he's the one who's like, I give you an allowance, but it's basically everything except what we need to keep the lights on.
Yeah, and maybe. Go
fucking
maybe
nuts.
Maybe even James Gunn said, oh, thanks for offering me this job, but I don't, that production part of it and all the business, I hate doing that. Well, what if we give you this guy to help you out?
That could definitely be.
I'll do it.
But it also could be, hey, James, like, we want to offer you this gig here. It's going to pay you 20 bajillion a month. You don't got to do anything. Every once in a while, it would help if you, we'll give you a statement and you read it before like a premiere or something. But mostly we just want to say, yeah, James Gunn's on all over this. And anything in between those. I mean, who knows?
Meanwhile, he's tweeting a lot of stuff that is usually behind closed doors, and I'm not sure that's a smart thing to do, but makes a lot of news, boy. Everyone's talking about it.
And if there's anything we know, it's that James Gunn takes his Twitter very seriously.
Anyway,
this feels dangerously close to politics.
My week, we had the kids over yesterday, and that was great.
Oh, yeah? What 7 movies did you watch this time?
Oh, we just watched one because they could only be here for a little while because of the storm coming in. But we had the kid overnight. So the son-in-law's birthday is on the 20th. So, and they wanted to see Avatar, but you know, Dumber wasn't going to sit through Avatar. So we went up early on the 20th and got Dumber and had him all day on the 20th overnight. And then they came to pick him up, but they stayed for just a little while they could before they had to hurry back. We got to see the kid for a good long time. Really good visit. It was good to have kids over.
Oh yeah, that can be tricky with some kids.
You know, you're right. That's true. But he's just really mellow and well behaved. You know, he sleeps through the night and all that. I mean, it's just nice. He's just a joy to have. I mean, so they've got a second one on the way. And so by the way this works, that one's going to be a terror.
It does happen that way sometimes.
But anyway, I just wanted to say it real quick because I really like seeing the kids and the grandkid. But how was your week?
Pretty good. I'm getting by here. We've been watching a lot of movies because a lot of movies are coming out on streaming right now. We're very excited about that. Yeah, so we did watch Black Adam. We haven't yet watched Banshees of Inisherin, but we want to see that.
Yeah.
Or the Robert Downey documentary.
Yeah, you talked about that.
Or I think there's some other stuff in there. But we have watched a couple of things. We watched a movie I had been in the back of my mind based on the recommendations of a 14-year-old that we know. A movie called Wendell and Wild that's on Netflix. This is one of those things. We finished it and we talked about it. There's a lot you can say against the quality of the film in certain areas, but I considered it a film that I enjoyed and was very much entertained by. And actually, there are certain aspects of the quality that are amazing. But so I want to say I recommend this movie to most people, including you specifically, William. It is an animated film And first and foremost, it is a stop motion animated film. Mm-hmm. And it did that thing that Kubo and the Two Strings did. Cause I nowadays, when I see stop motion, I'm like, yeah, it's either stop motion or it's computer generated fake stop motion. But this during the end credits showed you sped up footage of them actually filming it in the studio. And it was very cool. And the animation's awesome. It is, how to explain it? Here's the thing. Apparently it's based off of a children's or young adult book. And it's one of those movies that says a lot of lines and things that I'm sure mean stuff to people who have read that book. But to me and Trish just felt like there's a scene we missed, or they should have added a scene later to do something. Because there's a lot of stuff that we're like, ooh, that's intriguing. What's that? Don't know. And it's clearly a world that has a fairly intricate mythology, but they just tell us what we need to know. And some of it's very weird. It was recommended in part because of its representation.
Hmm.
And it has some great representation in it. There's a great deal of diversity. There is, in fact, a trans character that is only tangentially plot related. The story's not about that. And it was just fun. It stands out particularly because heavily involved and voicing the characters of Wendell and Wild, who are two demons in it, are Key and Peele back together again. The story's basically about a girl whose life sucks and she ends up an orphan, you know, like in a Disney film. And then later she finds out she's a hell maiden, and this means she can summon up demons, and there are some demons who would really like her to summon them up. And so they like trick her and hijinks ensue, and it's a whole deal. And what a hell maiden is, I'm not going to explain because it would spoil things, and also I still don't fully understand having watched it. But it's fun, and it's just on Netflix, so like whatever. I would recommend, and the animation is very cool, so check that out. Also rewatched a movie called Scare Me, which is a horror comedy, which is usually the kiss of death for me. One of the least popular and one of my least favorite genres or subgenres, horror comedy, because you can't do both. You're going to fuck it up one way or another. Either I'm like, you're taking me out of the moment here with the comedy you keep inserting into my horror film, or this comedy film is gross. That's the other side.
Right.
But this is notable in that it pulls it the fuck off. But again, it has sections of the film that are genuinely quite funny. And then later, without any sort of jarring disconnect, you will transition to parts of the film that are genuinely quite scary and back again. And it does it very smoothly. I have mentioned this film before because it has Josh Rubin, who I talked about recently, who is the male lead in A Wounded Fawn, which I recommended recently very strongly. What I didn't realize until now is he also wrote and directed Scare Me. And I will say, having seen it twice now, watching it knowing it's all his words and stuff too, gives it a different light for me, which is, I'm not going to say it's better or worse, but it makes things come across different. There are essentially four characters total. One is a very small part. And then the other two leads are Aya Cash, who is mostly famous for the sitcom You're the Worst on FX. She was the lead in that. I never saw it, but it was very popular. And I think she's very good in this. And Chris Redd, who most people are going to know from SNL, he spent several years on there. And actually, this is the movie that made me start to like him. I was not particularly a fan of him. And then after this, I sort of saw something and it changed. it's a movie basically of two different writers rent cabins very close to each other for like personal writing retreats. And then there's like a bad storm and they end up together in the same place and they talk a lot about their writing. And there's the thing very quickly transitions into a sort of scary story contest, but it's done. They act them out. It's done very much like a theater troupe vibe, and but like comedically. And so even when sometimes the audience will start doing parts in it, and it is incredibly good through some really good use of low budget special effects of tricking you. Sometimes it's real. Like they're telling the story. They're telling a story about a werewolf. And there's one point where like from a shadow, a werewolf's claw comes out and it's a real looking werewolf's claw. And then you get a different shot and you see it's just the dude with his hand going ow, or whatever. But it is done so well and so consistently that it's one of those movies that I happily say, like, I can't tell you what really happened and what didn't happen.
Interesting.
And it's just really cool. And it's also quite funny. And then in places, quite scary. I would say it is more comedy than horror, but it's close. And the sound design's amazing. Yeah, so I would recommend that to most people. I got it on Shudder, so you should be fine. I think, like, even on Amazon and stuff, it wasn't super successful. So it shows up in places and is usually cheap or free to watch. So check it out. It's just called Scare Me. So, yeah.
Speaking of sound design, that reminds me, one of the things we noticed watching Black Adam a second time was the music never stopped. It just kept going and going. You had these scenes that could have been helped by either different music or no music, but this dun, 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 music kept going no matter what the scene was. Like, what are you doing? You're killing this mood.
See, you tell a tale, and I figure you're more in on this to know, of The Rock is just too open to collaboration. And so all of these like executives and things came in. What I kept picturing is The Rock fucking loves Black Adam and he's the goddamn Rock. So he was just like, let's do this. And everybody was like, sure thing, Dwayne.
Yeah, no, that's possible. That's possible.
Because it felt like that to me, but I have nothing to back it up. That's just a narrative that works in my head. But like, that would be it. Like if they were like, we essentially gave this guy $200 million and he didn't direct it, but he kind of did.
Yeah,
because he's The Rock.
Yeah, maybe.
And because the movie felt like its heart was in the right place, but again, no soul. I've been trying a lot of video games. Nothing is really sticking, which is a problem right now. After Christmas, I'm gonna definitely sink my teeth into something big. I think I'm just gonna, before the end of the year, I think I'm gonna buy a copy of Horizon Forbidden West. I'm just too jazzed for it, and it also looks like one that'll take a really long time if how often I still see Azure Talon playing it online is any indication. I'm been trying really hard not to get spoilers, but I have got a couple of like gameplay spoilers, and yeah, I think I could sink a lot of time into that. So that's probably what's going to happen. That's it. Let's do an email. We actually have quite a few lately. All you lovely people have been helping out. So, okay. Yeah, you do one, because, again, I forgot to grab the thing.
Jazz, and the subject line is movies we don't even need to see.
You don't even need to see it.
You don't need to see it. Let's skip it.
It's fine.
All right, so she says, I thought of this question when Tony was talking about the movie Roadhouse. I started trying to think of any Patrick Swayze movies that I had seen and couldn't think of any. After looking up his list of films, I realized I had seen one, Donnie Darko. Oh, is he in that?
Patrick Swayze's in Donnie Darko?
I don't remember that. Do you?
Is he the bunny? No, I genuinely don't. But I also literally can't remember anyone except both Gyllenhaal children.
We've been actually meaning to see that again, because I feel like I've had some experiences since we saw it that would help me understand it better. I'm sure I'll be fooled.
But you do you, but if you get way into Donnie Darko, we probably can't be friends anymore. Okay. And that's not even the movie's fault. I don't really understand how it works, but
I realized I had seen one Donnie Darko, but I've never seen Ghost or Dirty Dancing. I've never seen Dirty Dancing, but I have seen Ghost.
I've never seen Dirty Dancing. I've seen parts of Ghost.
Hasn't everyone seen parts of Ghost?
I mean, I've seen part. Sorry. I was in a room for an unspecified period of minutes when Ghost was playing.
Right. Okay.
I have just seen it in clips, although I've seen a lot of clips too.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that one very famous scene that I think everybody's seen. And not only have they seen that very famous scene, they've seen people mocking that very famous scene. I mean, if someone's going to make fun of Ghost, there's one scene they're going to make fun of.
I know for a fact I knew Unchained Melody before that movie, but I'd be damned if I can remember why I would have.
All right. So, but as far as knowing them, I almost feel like I never need to see them, as I'm so familiar with various scenes and phrases from everyone else referencing them. That's kind of what we're saying. I've got at least several other movies like that, Titanic, Jaws, and wondered if any movies fall into that category for the two of you. So she's asking about movies that we haven't seen, and we don't have a particular objection to seeing them, but we've heard so much about them, we feel like we have seen them. And is Jess saying she's never seen Jaws?
Jess, I've also never seen Jaws.
Really?
I've also never seen Titanic, but I am fiercely proud of that fact.
You know, we saw Titanic in the theater.
Well, and I think she's also, I mean, Jazz, correct us if we're wrong on any of this, but I think she's also talking about a condition that I relate to very strongly, which is this idea that, well, as based on your reaction here, if I'm going to talk in the space of horror movies, am I properly equipped if I haven't seen Jaws? And this is a question of, is Jaws important enough that I do need to see it to have these conversations? / do I know enough about Jaws now that I can participate already?
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen Jaws, and I often think I should see Jaws, but it would be unfair to say that I want to see Jaws. I'm not opposed. If somebody's like, you want to watch Jaws tonight? I'd probably be like, sure. But there's a lot of, I mean, I have seen very few of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and I have strong opinions about those. I've seen none of the Saw movies, and I have very strong opinions about those. It's hard to say.
I can't think of it.
I experience the same thing Jazz is experiencing, definitely.
Yeah, I think I do too, but I can't think of a movie that's an example. Some kind of, something before we saw Game of Thrones, I felt like I didn't need to watch it because I felt like I'd seen so many memes. I'd heard so many people talk about it. And honestly, when we did watch Game of Thrones, nothing happened. I mean, things happened that I didn't know were going to happen, but the general, like,
nothing that carried with you post.
No,
watch.
Nothing this punched is the me thing. In the face because I like I already knew all this.
I'm becoming a firm believer in shit you don't need to see on a broader scale than just the classics and stuff.
Yeah.
I've been working really hard, as I am wont to do, as my mental illness makes me do, to break down why do I watch a movie or a TV show or video, and then to follow up. So why am I choosing to watch this one? I'll see if I can make it. You're giving me a slightly blank look, even though you're nodding. So I'll see if I can bring it down there. I have recently decided there are only, I think, three reasons to watch, for me personally, no, maybe four, to watch a movie or a TV show or anything at this point.
Okay.
One, and this is the big one, this is what hopefully most of them fall into, it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is very rare, vanishingly rare, some would say. I learn things that I consider valuable to know going forward in my life.
Okay.
I mean, I learn a lot of things, but often they're really not pointless. Mm-hmm. Third is if it's a really brilliant example of some art form that I really appreciate. That also doesn't come up a lot for me, but ostensibly, if something was shot really well, or the one that does come up a lot for me, there are acting performances in this that are breathtaking. The movie around it, don't give a shit, but so-and-so's portrayal of such and such is just worth the admission right there. That happens more than you think. And then the fourth is a general, like, this has changed my life. Like, this movie has opened my perspective in a new way.
That one's different than... That one's different than learning something, though. It's like,
related, but sometimes it's like, no, there was nothing about it. It's much more nebulous. It's much more inspirational. There are some movies I watched, I'm like, I can't say a good thing about it. And if I watched it again, I might hate it. But something in that moment, like, I remember watching that movie and it has really, I think about it a lot. It sticks with me. Mm. As opposed to, I didn't know a lot about that. And I looked it up because you have to afterwards and found out a lot of this is true. And I had never known that. And I find that fascinating. And that really is something I'm going to carry forward. They're similar. And if I break it down to those four things, very few things should I be watching.
Yeah, no kidding.
And more and more, I'm watching things one episode, maybe two. And if you don't make it clear that one of those four things is going to happen, I am more and more getting out right away.
Yeah. I mean, I think my criteria is
books and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. I think my criteria is similar. I noticed one big difference between me and a lot of people I knew was that they were often surprised by how many things I just wasn't interested to see. You know, because they would watch just about anything. And, I think I have those four, but there's also, and I think you're probably good at this too. There's also a sense of, I think I know what that's going to be like and I'm not interested. Right. And it's happened enough where someone talked me into, oh, give it a try. And then I saw it or heard it or whatever. And it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. I totally didn't like it. Now, there have been times where I've changed my mind about it too. That's happened too.
And that's why it's a problem. Because have to take it in. Well, I mean, I should rephrase. That's why when I don't think I'm interested in someone and someone I know and respect is trying to convince me I should, it's always a fucking crapshoot.
Yeah, right.
Like, exactly. It's really hard to discern, but it's happened. And the classic one for me is the fucking Godfather. It's 3 hours. It's a gangster movie. I don't give a shit. I know every scene from it. And then I watched it and damned if it's not one of the best movies I've ever seen.
So The Godfather, before you saw it, it was one of the films for you, like she's talking about, where you pretty much knew everything about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was exact. I think we talked about that at the time.
Yeah.
And because of it, the second and third one are now sitting in that limbo space. And I even know the third one sucks. Like, that's okay, a famous thing.
Here's the thing. I probably 8 times out of 10. Oh, I guess I don't. I'll say that. 8 times out of 10, when I cave and I watch something, 8 times out of 10, I was right. I hated it. I was going to hate it. And I felt like I wasted my time.
Say a similar, very large percentage.
Only 2 times out of 10 do I have to say, nope, you're right, I misjudged that. But also, those 2 times out of 10, those films might be a thing I was wrong about and I liked, but they didn't meet those four criteria that you just said either. Right? They didn't change my life. They wouldn't, like, if
I do want to make it clear, those are the criteria. You only have to have one of them for me to watch you.
Okay, but any one of them. So what I'm saying is, if I'd been stubborn and not seen them, it would have been the same.
Yeah, it would have been
the same. That's why I sometimes feel like it's okay to just skip it. Most of the time I'll see something. It's mostly because that the relationship I have with that person, I can see that it's important to them. And I want to give it a try. I'm not going to lie, though. If I don't like it, I'll say. But I'll watch it.
And that's you have to do, is you have to drill down into why do you like it? Why do you think I would like it? Things like that. And I have been bitten many times. And I also, back in the day, often would take it personally. Like, not only did I not like that. Well, you know. We could coin the term the Bates Motel effect right now.
Yeah, I guess we could.
Like, I did not think I wanted to see that. You and I had long, detailed talks about why and why I would not. And eventually I tried it and I did not like it. And I came back to you with the reasons and you were like, well, yeah. And so this is the problem. Not only are all of these things wildly subjective, but there's also an amount. Like, if a movie only is good for one performance, and if that performance is really just one monologue, I can see that on YouTube. I don't need to see the rest of the movie. If it's a great example of, I don't know, wire foo, but the rest of the movie is physically painful to watch, I'm not that into wire foo, so whatever, you know? But then sometimes, yeah, I've seen stuff that I'm just like, that made it worth it right there.
Well, and also, I think I have a good sense of when I watch something and I like it, but I like it because I'm watching it with this person. I mean, there are things that I like to watch with Abby that I don't think I'd watch by myself, but I love watching them with her. And there are, and here's the thing, Tremors or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd probably watch those again with the kids because they like it so much. And I like watching them like it, and it's not terrible. It doesn't offend me or something. So I'd probably watch some of those movies again with them if they wanted to.
I have experienced a thing that I very strongly associate with marriage. And the reason being, the only time I've really experienced this is with my wife, but I'm very limited in those experiences in some ways. So it might not just be a married thing, but we are at a point. There are definite types of media that I like that Trish really does not like, and vice versa. In fact, when we talk about it a lot with her, I started referring to it as the damages factor, because our example was the TV show Damages, and she was really into it and I was really not. And I'd say we both agree on like the quality, but it was just the kind of thing I don't like and the kind of thing she does. And so every once in a while I'll see something and be like, I don't want to see that, but it looks damages-y enough that I'm going to show it to Trish. But there's also a lot of stuff that's just in between. Like, I watch it, she doesn't, she just doesn't give a shit. Or she watches, I don't. And then there's the things that your partner learns to like, but just kind of. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much of it is they would like parts of it, or they like you, or it's just Stockholm syndrome. But things like Taskmaster, things like Try Guys, things like most British panel shows, they fall into a category where Trish doesn't mind if I watch them while she's there, but she doesn't want to watch them. But then slowly over time, she gets invested in some of them. And so she's on her tablet playing around, but like a certain task will happen and she'll put it down to watch that task. Or sometimes it'll be McElroy's or something, and she will laugh at certain jokes. So she's clearly just half listening. And I get that sometimes with her. She and her sister watch some reality things, like craft reality shows. And if they watch it with me there, sometimes I start developing opinions. And I find it kind of adorable. I really kind of enjoy it. And it can sometimes grow. We are very close to when there's a new Try Guys video, we just watch it. We still have some where she's like, yeah, you can watch it without me, although often I'll still watch it with her in the room. But there are a lot of videos and specific ones that, like, now I know she actively wants to see it, and will have come, like, she has opinions about the Try Guys and stuff. I find that fascinating, and I've just never experienced it anywhere else. I've experienced, hey, this show is cool, you should watch it with me, and then you're like, this show is cool. But I've never had this longer term of like, eh, whatever. But I can be there when you're watching it. I didn't think. Hey, it's time. We got to watch it. Like that whole evolution.
Oh yeah.
Did that make any sense? I just like acted out. Like I did my own little morphing montage of years of listening to Try Guys.
It made perfect sense because that's happened to me many times, mostly with the kids. When the kids weren't living here anymore, like Abby and I, besides the fact that Supernatural started getting more and more repetitive, I don't think it was our thing. I think it was like our thing, right? And we liked watching it all together. And when the kids weren't here, it was hard for us to get enthusiastic about it. Again, aside from the fact that it was not as good maybe in the later years. It was hard for us to get excited about it because it's, you know, we only started watching it because the kids watched it without us a couple times, and they really liked it. And they said, oh, we think you guys will like this. And we were very skeptical that we would like it, but we did. And it was fun. And we all liked watching it together.
This is a little sketchy. I got to be quiet because Trish is working from home this week, so she's here. So I'm not going to name any names, as let's call it a Fifth Amendment thing, but there are certain types of media that aren't offensive or anything. I don't want to do that, but that I specifically know Trish doesn't particularly like, to the degree that I know she likes hanging out in the room when we're just doing different things. I've talked about that before. She'll play on her computer, I'm watching TV. To me, we might as well be in different rooms. To her, we're spending time together. But there are things that she finds annoying enough, grating enough, I don't know, that she would rather leave the room. And I have used this intentionally before. If I was like, well, because there's some stuff that I won't show for. So like, maybe I want to watch a really trashy 70s Italian exploitation film. Neither of us are super. I mean, actually, she did kind of, that's a bad example because she did kind of get into those two. But I don't know. If I want to watch something really porny or maybe straight up porn, like I'm not going to do that with Trisha. And so maybe if I'm like that, I'll be like, I'll put this on. She'll probably hate it. But we have been married long enough that that particular form of media is now to where sometimes she gets invested. And on the one hand, I'm like, fuck. I lost that tool. But on the other hand, I'm like, this is so, it's one of those married, like pets looking like their owners. I refuse to unpack that statement. I'm not, no, let's please not don't. Go there.
No,
I feel it's appropriate, but I refuse to drill down on that.
Yeah, let's move on. Yeah.
But yeah, so there's just a lot of things. And it was such a weird thing to watch. And because I also like this type of movie, so it'd be like, oh, I'll watch this and then she'll leave. And then later it'd be like, hey, she's not going anywhere. That's weird. Oh, well. And nowadays I'll be like, you know what? I think this is one she'll like. And it just evolves over time. I don't know. This probably sounds stupid as hell if you aren't in a marriage where you do a lot of stuff together. I don't know. I know William can relate to this because I know what your relationship is like. And I also know your kids are gone. Not having kids around, I think, helps with this kind of thing a lot. Though, the last thing I want to say on it, and I've talked about this before, there is an episode of Actually that was just new dads. All three of the contestants were guys that had become fathers within the last year. And it was all about basically kids shows. Like the baby shows they watched.
I think you talked about this because they had
and
to know certain
they
songs
were so invested. Like every show that came up, at least one of them knew it. And anytime somebody knew it, they either hated that show, which I get for my little time of babysitting. There are some shows that I'm like, fuck those forever. Or they were like, no, this is one of the good ones. And they were like super invested in the lore and shit. And that was pretty fun to watch. In the same kind of thing. Again, the only thing I can think of is Stockholm Syndrome. I used to say this about most of the like Canadian genre one-hour shows. You take any of those shows. You take, I guess Supernatural is not technically one, but you take Supernatural, Lost Girl, Killjoys, Farscape, Babylon 5, any of the new ones that I don't watch, Dead Space, whatever they are, all the ones that are like two words, and it's either fantasy or sci-fi, all of them. If you watch like a whole season's worth, it's not hard for you to stick with it forever then. Because you can't not, as long as they are written at least plausibly, the stories of these characters, you're gonna start to care about them.
Yeah,
reality TV works this way too. If you sit in a room where somebody is watching a marathon of reality TV, if you're paying any attention, this is how I got into Project Runway. Trish was watching it. I was in the room. I was on my computer by like the third one. I'm like, I have an opinion about that guy. And then it was all lost. And TV shows that I have fucking hated. And then we're in long enough. And I'm like, that seems very out of character for them. Or God, that's so them. And so you got to watch out for that. The sunk cost fallacy is the single worst problem facing television viewers today. Don't check up on that at all. I made it up, but it's an issue.
Back to Jazz's question. I think for a lot of people, Star Wars one of these things.
Okay, yeah.
I think Star Wars is one of these things for a lot of people because,
yes.
You know, I'm sometimes surprised that a person hasn't seen Star Wars. And it's because they seem to get all the jokes and references and everything else, but then you find out they've never seen it and you realize, oh, it's a cultural thing now. And,
but it also can become a fucking status thing because there are ones everybody know. The Godfather is another good example. That is absolutely a bullshit dude bro thing. It's like, yeah, we all know this, but I've actually seen the movie. And the way it comes up is if anyone has the temerity to mention they haven't, even though almost everybody hasn't, that one dude is like, oh, you haven't seen it? Oh my God. And the real deep subtext there is, you're not on the same level as me. Star Wars is a great example. And of course, the king of this, the current reigning king, MCU.
Oh, sure.
And MCU is still my weak point. As much as I would like it not to be, I am just now starting to crawl out from under the weight of that. There are things I'm not watching, but there are far fewer of them than there probably should be. Star Wars, I'm pretty up and out now. I am happy with where I am with Star Wars because I am not letting people guilt me into watching Andor, and that is a big step.
The only thing that Jazz mentioned I was surprised by was Jaws. And the reason I was surprised by it was because it's not because of the genre or anything. It's because it's a seminal piece of film crap, right? I mean, I'm always expecting that, you know, Jazz has seen, like, for example, I'd be surprised if she hasn't seen The Godfather. I would be.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she has to or that she should, but it's like, she's just really, I mean, she's a literature professor and her literature to her is not just a book or a book at a certain time period. It's the, you know, the text, the conversation, the social conversation. And so, I know she's at least interested in these things for that reason. And when she's interested in something, nothing really ever stops her from looking at it. So that's why I'm a little surprised about the Jaws thing, because it's like,
it's, well, it's not like it's a big difficulty to do or anything. And I have the same thing. It's just such a low bar, and I should do it. I'm telling myself, but also based on this conversation, I'm like, no, I should not do it. Stand up, meet the four criteria. But I know the big one for me, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to watch. There are legitimate reasons why I should and do want to see it. The reason I don't is horror movies and scary movies about shit in the ocean. When you're not, when we're all not trapped in the ocean, has never worked for me. Like, and so there's a lot of movies, including some movies that probably are things I would actually really enjoy, again, because I'm a pervert and a lot of these were made in the 70s. But like Jaws and Piranha and a lot of, if it's something like where you're trapped underwater or you're stranded, maybe. But if it's shit like where, like, oh, at the beach, something's killing everybody, don't go into water. Like, it's like a haunted house movie where, like, people got haunted and we all saw, but then the ghost didn't have the power to, like, lock the doors like it does. Also would be bad, because it's like, we'll just leave. Thank you. Good night.
Well, I have to admit that Jaws holds no interest to me as a story, and I've never really gotten that much into that aspect of it, like, for all the reasons you're saying.
Well, and the only works because of the incredibly stupid mayor. Like, the Jaws movie would never happen.
No.
Because the only reason it does happen is because of that insane character who's like, not enough people died to explain not lying to people about things, so they'll spend a lot of money on curly fries this 4th of July weekend.
But the film craft is very good. I mean, it's just so well made. It's kind of ridiculous. So for a person like me who's uninterested in the film for all the reasons that you've been saying, I would never, you know. And it's supposed to be a scary movie, which I'm not usually into that anyway. I guess it's a creature feature. I might get into it for that, but it isn't really that for me anyway. But I just like watching. I mean, the film craft is just very good, even today, I think, which is why I wish I could get around to watching some Hitchcock stuff that I haven't seen. I haven't seen The Birds. I haven't seen all of Vertigo. I haven't seen some of his great, great movies. Haven't seen any of it or all of it. And I'd kind of like to, because I think he was really good.
That's a wild sentence there. I haven't seen any of it. And you know what else? I haven't seen all of it. Any Hitchcock film that you could consider part of Hitchcock's films?
All right. Shut up.
But this is a problem for me. I don't know where Jazz stands. Jazz is probably the third point of a triangle that you and I are on. I don't know what the lines are, though. I'm here for the story. I am not here for how it was shot until recently. I would say, in the time we have been friends, and due to no small part because of your friendship, I much more appreciate film craft than I used to. And there are some movies that I can really enjoy purely, but it's still rare. If your story sucks, you are already at 2 5/8 strikes.
Yeah, and I'm the opposite.
Butcher that metaphor.
I would totally watch a film just to see how it was made. In fact, for a long time, I liked watching documentaries about how the film was made more than I liked the film. But yeah, I've recently come to like things like character and story, again, probably very much influenced by my friendship with you. So it's exactly the opposite for me.
And I do still have the thing about earnestness. If a film is terrible, I was watching something. I don't even remember what it was. I was watching a shitty movie the other day, but I was like, it doesn't make sense, sort of, but the people involved are really giving me a sense that, like, this was This wasn't them fucking around. This wasn't them just for a paycheck. This was people who thought they were making something amazing. And I love that. And I'm morbidly fascinated by how wrong they clearly were.
Oh, hi, Mark.
And so it's this weird combination of like, that's a car wreck. But I can also see the super sweet jump you were trying to pull before you landed there.
Yeah.
And so on both levels, I am here for it. I am both with you and against you. And that's why I love The Room. Like, yeah, for that reason. They try so hard and miss the mark so bad. And it's just like, I'm so proud of you. And also, you're like a circus sideshow freak, and I have bought a ticket. So I shouldn't feel good about that position, but I do that. I mean, it's why I love Krull. Krull's not a terrible movie. Krull's a pretty good movie, but it's not a great movie. But they act very, very hard, and I love that about it. We should wrap up here. Thank you for coming to this episode of Outside the Actor's Studio, where two fucking amateurs give you a master class and some bullshit. I've been Tony, and he's been William. If you'd like to hear more of our bullshit, good news, this is episode 600 what?
14.
He still paused. 614. So there's a lot of back catalog you can go through. And if you've been listening all this time, I mean, go back and start at the beginning again. It's got to be hilarious to hear now, or horrifying. I don't know. Maybe that's the point at which you finally, like, the abyss stares back. I don't know. But you can also go to aethertheater.com and check out all of William's shit. Oh, that reminds me, I have to tell you about a new thing I came up with. It's either going to be a best-selling book for me or a film you and I are going to make. Also, go to smashwords.com and grab my book, Odd Wings. It is currently free throughout the end of the year. Also, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Tell us your feeling on movies. That's pretty much all we talked about. You must have opinions on movies. Share them with us. Give us your engagement. And otherwise, you know, just listen again or watch again or whatever next week, because we'll be back. And after that, Christmas will have happened. So I assume we're both going to be at the manger on Sunday. And then we'll both give our, we might film a little bit there on the day, but mostly we'll just talk about it next week.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.